Chapter 6. This is what is known as a topical message, and what that means is that it's not built around one particular passage. It's built around a topic, and we'll be looking at several passages, really many, but I'll just read a few of them for the sake of time tonight. But Galatians chapter 6, there's a word. I'm not sure we understand exactly. I'm not saying you can't understand, but I'm just saying as we use the word, sometimes I'm not sure that we know exactly what it means. And then I don't know if we really understand the implications of it. It's the word glory, G-L-O-R-Y. And I'm going to talk about glory tonight just a little bit. But I want to begin with this verse in Galatians chapter 6. And let's read verse 14. Of course, the Apostle Paul is writing this epistle to the Galatians, and he says in verse 14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Let me read that again and we'll pray. God forbid that I should glory, save, or in other words, accept, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer if we could, please. Father, thank you tonight that we have the ability to come to this place. Thank you for this assembly of people. I thank you for the young people here, for all of the folks that are here tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand better what it means when you promised us that where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're there in the midst. And pray we'd realize that even if there is a light turnout for church someday or some night, it's not really a light turnout at all because you meet with us. You're the most important of all the attendees. Lord, tonight, a lot of thoughts in my mind right now and things I'd like to use to explain this passage. I pray you'd help me to use them wisely. Pray that you'd help us to understand the Bible and ourselves a little bit better tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, of course, Galatians is about the group of people that were of the impression that they could be good enough to be saved. I guess that's the simple way to say it. And Paul, in writing to them, tells them that he would never glory. He said, God forbid, it should be impossible that he would glory. I'll look at that word in a minute. Except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, it's because of the cross of Christ. Amen? Amen? So I want to zero in on that word glory, and I'm just going to start ad lib, and then I'll come back to my notes just a little bit. But you heard the music just now, right? Mm-hmm. If you had visited the church in Maryland, we had that kind of music all the time. In fact, if you had visited our church in Maryland, that music kind of exemplifies the auditorium, beautiful auditorium. Beautiful school building, beautiful church grounds, had beautiful office spaces, couple of secretaries, had a copier, wow. Phone system, that's nice. Network, computer network. Every one of our classrooms, 14 classrooms, our new school building, 860 square feet each one, I believe it was. They all had telephones, and they all had TVs on the wall, and beautiful tile floor with the school initials engraved, kind of not engraved, but imprinted in the tile floor. when we arrived in Maryland, it wasn't like that. And that was a labor of love from 2002 until 2016. I resigned in February of 16. And a lot of people there in Maryland would have said that I would get the credit for what that school and that church and that ministry was. And I tried not to think about it that way. I just wanted to think that God did it. Amen? Yeah. So, coming from there to here and seeing what we were able to do there and what we were able to do here is quite a disparity, if you don't mind my saying so. And sometimes I have to ask myself, is it important that I accomplish something, or is it important that God accomplishes something? Brother Mendez and I, we like to share war stories about our work days. He still has some work days. I gave up my career 20 years ago when I went into the ministry over 20 years ago. And so we'll talk about being able to go out on a job site and find out what's wrong, and nobody else could figure it out, and we'd figure it out, and we'd fix it. And talk about how good that would feel. And people would come to us, and whether they'd say anything or not, we knew it, and they knew it, that we were able to do something nobody else could do. And I used to do that with computers all the time. And it felt good. And I missed that, and I wondered why I missed it. And then the Lord had shown me this lesson that we're looking at tonight. And I understood something. You and I, in our flesh, I know we're Christians and we're above that. Yeah, right. But anyway, in our flesh, we like to be known as being good at something. Amen? That's a carnal thing. I enjoyed when I would go into a computer shop in Salt Lake City and some programmer would walk up to me and he would say, "You're George Schaefer?" And I would say, "Yeah, I'm George Schaefer." And he'd say to me, "I've seen your work. And I've always wondered if I'd get to meet you or not." That feels pretty good, huh? Who gets the glory in a situation like that? We do, right? Who ought to get glory? God, amen? Now here's a question, and I've got some other questions I'll ask you later and some points I'll make, but and I can't take all the time because we're already pushing the envelope here because we had a good time singing, but if you and I would look forward in life and see no prospect of glory for us, would we keep going? Let me put that in perspective. Take an Olympic athlete. If there were no Olympics, if there were no gold medals, if there was no platform to stand on and be recognized, if there was no follow-on wealth that comes from being able to sell yourself to the advertisers because you're a great skater or a great gymnast or whatever, if the Olympic athletes simply went to a place of obscurity, competed, and that was the end of it, would they do what they do? Probably not. Would the musicians that sell all the music and entertain our young people and don't talk about God, but they talk about everything else under the sun and immorality and all the rest, and they sing and they play and they have concerts, and if there was no acclaim, would they do what they do? Probably not. Here's the question. If you and I, as Christians, are asked to serve in obscurity, nobody ever knows who you are. Nobody ever pats you on the back and says, "Hey, good job." Nobody ever comes and says, "Wow, that's really impressive what you've done." If that's the way God asked you to serve him, would you keep on going or would you quit? Amen? Okay, let me look at some notes here with you and try to see if I can't make this quick and easy. Glory. If you think about glory, it's when you see the product of a person's effort, maybe a great piece of art or a book or a building or a statue or some creation, and you give that man credit for his accomplishment. You say, "Look what he did." Right? That's giving somebody glory. Now, this word is all over the Bible. Hopefully after tonight when you see it, it'll mean more to you. To give somebody glory, you acknowledge that they excel above others. You acknowledge that their ability is unique. For example, we could all probably, unfortunately I say, name some athletes. There's nothing wrong with being fascinated by baseball or basketball, but don't worship those guys, amen? When I was growing up, my dad would watch a little football on TV. So when I was raising my children, I'd watch a little football on TV. And I never really got hooked on it. And I'm just bragging on him. My son Tim knows his athletes. He's not obsessed with it. But he can tell you what the Orioles are doing right now, can't you? Losing. He knows who's batting and who's not. And I don't have an interest in keeping track of that, but some of those guys, I used to go to those baseball games with him back when we lived in Baltimore in area. And I admit, was it Manuel Tejada? Miguel Tejada, that's the one. That guy could hit a baseball. Amen? And we'd go watch the baseball game, and we'd watch those guys. And Baltimore never had any pitchers, and so you couldn't brag on them. But they had some pretty good bats there for a while. And have you ever tried to hit one of those baseballs going 100 miles an hour? Have you ever tried to throw one 100 miles an hour? Forget it. Stand in a batting cage sometime and let that ball go by you going 100 miles an hour. You won't even know it's there. We were at a ball game, the first one I think I took my son to ever, and a guy tipped the ball, and we were sitting right behind home plate, and we were just above the net. So you could see over the net, you could see the batter, which means there's nothing between him and us. No net, no protection. And pitcher threw the ball, batter tipped the ball. It went about that far above the net, and before I could even move, it had gone by his head, missed him by about 3 feet, and hit the wall behind him. I don't know how those guys hit those balls, but they have an ability, and the guys that are good at it, they make a lot of money and they get a lot of glory, don't they? I'm overkilling this. Glory is being recognized for what you can do. Glory is being given credit for it. Glory is being admired for it. Glory is being recognized for your accomplishments. And that's something that a lot of people crave. Something that most people at least like to have some of in their life. You know, the military leader who, in World War II, for example, MacArthur, who won such great victories in such overwhelmingly difficult situations. You know, he outflanked the Koreans during the Korean War. If you don't know that story, it's very interesting. And we give him a lot of credit for his military prowess. We give him glory for that, that's what I should have said. The wealthy man who earned his wealth with his own talent and effort. I'm not particularly fond of his theology at all, but Bill Gates is an impressive man. He made his money by being good at what he did. And he was unique in his day. And he did some things that nobody else even thought to do and did them very well. And for that, he's made a lot of money. I'm sorry to say, I don't think he's saved, and I think he's going to die and go to hell if he doesn't get saved. But he's very good at what he does, and people give him a lot of glory, don't they? All right, so you got glory in your pocket a little bit there? Let's see if we can't make some sense out of this. Glory, some definitions: honor, majesty, dignity, greatness, renown. I think the best definition of glory is just a simple colloquial one. It's when someone says you're good. And good not meaning that you have a good nature, but you have good ability, that you have strength, or that you have skill or whatever. That's to give somebody glory. Somebody that you say is talented or capable of doing great things. In the Bible, turn to Genesis 31. Let me show you a couple of things here. If you ever take a course in what's called hermeneutics, the word hermeneutics comes from a Greek word. The Greek god Hermes was a messenger, and hermeneutics has the idea of interpreting the Bible correctly. Hermeneutics is interpreting it correctly, and homiletics is preaching it accurately and well. And hermeneutics, understanding how to interpret the Bible, there's this thing called the first mention principle. The first time God mentions something in the Bible usually has some future use to us. And in this case, this is the first mention of the word glory in this regard. It's in Genesis 31. You see in verse 1, we won't worry about that right yet, just a second. Heard the words of Laban's sons, that's Jacob, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. Now, do you remember what had happened? Laban had defrauded Jacob with the marriage arrangement with Leah and Rachel. And so ultimately, Jacob pulled a trick, and Jacob's name, by the way, means somebody who is tricky or supplants. He switches things around. He pulled a trick, and he marked these cattle, and you have to read this story. I haven't got time to explain it all, but he wound up with all of Laban's cattle.
And his riches were all from Laban. Laban was the one that had worked hard and had made all this money and had all these cattle and had all these servants and everything. And now Jacob pulls this stunt, and all of a sudden they belong to Jacob. And Laban's sons are angry. And what they say is, in verse 1, it says, "Of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory." In other words, our dad was the one that did the hard work, and Jacob's the guy getting credit for it. Do you see? So that gives you a sense of glory. If that didn't quite sink in, let me give you a couple more. I got to hurry because we're going to run out of time if I don't. Let's see. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I'm going to bring this back around, so don't get worried. If you're not quite getting it, we'll get there. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Okay, so this is the second representation of the Ten Commandments in the Bible. And Moses is explaining some things to the people. And in verse 24... He's quoting the people, but let me explain it to you. It says, "Ye said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man, and he liveth." So just looking back at the first part of verse 24, it says, "The Lord hath showed us his glory." Now, what had God done? He had shown them a demonstration of his power, hadn't he? When you start talking about giving glory to God, what you're saying is God can do great things. You think a man can do great things. You know, they harnessed the power of electricity with generators, and they can light up a whole city. That's nothing compared to what God can do. God can light the whole sky. Amen? You know, one sun, the power of our sun, is far beyond man's greatest dreams of accomplishment, but God's made millions and countless numbers of suns. Amen? So God's glory is our acknowledging what he is capable of. All right? You still with me? All right. Let me see if I can get this a little bit tighter if I can, okay? So glory is something that God has because of who he is. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 5 says the Lord Jesus Christ is the glory of the Lord. And I won't take time to look at all of that, but let me just think with you for a minute. How'd you and I get saved? Christ died for our sins. Would you agree with me? God has power to save. Where is that power? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. So why would the Lord Jesus Christ be the glory of the Lord? Because he is the representation, not just the representation, the act of saving us was done by him. And so your salvation, when you give God glory for your salvation, that glory belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ for what he did. Amen? Amen? Okay, we're getting a little closer. I'm going to get there. Give me some time here. In the Bible, for example, and I won't ask you to turn there, do you remember Haman in the book of Esther? And Haman, he was having a bad day. And he came to his friends, and the Bible says in chapter 5, he told them of the glory of his riches. And what he was saying was, I've got so much money. Do you know what I can do with the money I've got? See, again, the glory is that acknowledgement of ability, that acknowledgement of power, that acknowledgement of someone's capable of doing something. That's what the glory is. One more of those. In Job chapter 19, Job himself, talking about God, said, he hath stripped me of my glory and taken the crown from my head. Job's ability was gone, wasn't it? His wealth was gone. His family was gone. The glory was taken by the Lord. Did he get it back? Amen. Did he know he was going to get it back? No. But he ultimately wound up with being restored by the Lord, didn't he? So where am I going with all this? It is a fact that God is the one that deserves glory.
a couple of verses. We won't be long. Go to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. It's the Lord Jesus Christ talking to his disciples right before the crucifixion. And that begins in chapter 18, but 15, 16, and 17 are his discourse with his disciples. Look at John 15 and look at verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do what? Okay, without me ye can do nothing. So when we do something, who should get the glory? The Lord Jesus Christ, amen? Somebody gets saved. Who gets the glory?
Jesus.
We have a good day at church. Somebody can play the piano. Somebody can lead the singing. Somebody can teach Sunday school. The church house is full. The offerings are sufficient. Whatever it is that's success, God gets the glory. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen? If we take glory for what we can't do, we're stealing, aren't we? Amen?
Yeah.
If we seek glory for what God deserves glory for, we're being dishonest and we're proud. And don't think that doesn't happen. There are people, sadly, that serve God because they get recognized. Just like that athlete that gets to stand on the podium and be called the best. And they worked hard for that. They got up at 4 a.m. and worked out 8 hours a day, 6 days a week for years. So they could stand up there and be called the best. But is that why we serve God? We serve God because we're nothing. And He is the best. Here's some real simple thoughts. Don't take glory for what God does or for what God did.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, I would never do that. Someone got saved. Someone says, oh, it's because I went door to door. No, it's not. It's because the Lord saved them.
Amen.
A ministry is successful. Marilyn, for example. I didn't do that. God used me to do some things, but I don't get the glory. He does. If I did it, it has no value. God gets the glory. Psalm 29:2 says this, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. John 15:5, without me ye can do nothing. So number one, don't take glory for what God did.
Amen.
Number two, go to Psalm 127. Kind of the same idea, but we're going to twist it a little bit here, and I'm almost done. Be patient. It's 8 o'clock, and we're going to pray in just a moment. Psalm 127. Don't seek glory for what only God can do. Don't seek glory for what only God can do. Kind of the same thing as we said earlier, but think about this. People that say that they're saved, let me ask you, everybody here, listen carefully. How did you get saved? How did your sins get forgiven? Was it what you did or what somebody else did? How did your sins get saved, Leo? Get forgiven? Jesus paid for your sins on the cross. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins.
Absolutely.
Were you baptized?
Yes.
Did that take away your sins?
No.
No, why not? They were already gone.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
Baptism is after salvation, so it can't take away sins.
Right.
What takes away sins?
The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Christ. Amen? What about good works? Does that take away sins?
No.
No. What about going to church?
No.
What about tithing?
No.
Let me think. What else do people think takes away sins? What about feeling bad about it?
No.
What about doing really good so that you can make up for it? No. No. If any of that worked, then we could save ourselves, couldn't we? But we don't take glory for what only God can do.
Amen.
Only God can save us. And He's willing to, isn't He? Psalm 127 says this, except, you might use the word unless to understand it, but except is a perfectly good word. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keepeth the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Let's just talk about building the house. Quick, short version. We remodeled a basement in Maryland. And every time I say I did it, my sons remind me, yeah, we helped. Okay? But at the end of the day, there was a whole lot of physical labor in put into that basement. Hauling sheetrock and painting and everything else, electrical and plumbing and all that. The Bible says here, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. We labor, don't we? Whether it's building a house or running a bus route or whatever. But who's actually doing the work? God, amen?
Amen.
Beautiful building in Maryland. And a lot of people work to build that building. But if it was for God's glory, who actually built it? God, amen? So back to what I said. Don't seek glory for what only God can do. It is God is the one that can make things valuable. If we take glory for something that God did, we're robbing God and we're liars. Amen? Right, one more. I'm trying to make this quick and we're done. Don't seek glory and pretend to serve God. You've either got to serve God and give Him the glory,
amen,
or you're not really serving God.
I
know good and well there are people that stand up, and I'm not talking about in our church, I'm just saying somewhere along the way, they get up in front of a huge congregation and they sing. And what they're really thinking is, these people are going to know how good I am. That's called performing, by the way. I know, I'm sorry to say, there are people that stand up and speak, and they do it thinking, these people are going to know that I'm a good speaker. Or whatever else that you do, okay? But you know, when you serve the Lord for the right reasons, you don't care if you get glory or not. You want Him to get the glory, amen? There are people that need to be patted on the back. There are people that need to have a claim. There are people that constantly bring it to your attention. Look what I did, look what I did. They're not really serving God. They're serving themselves, aren't they? You understand what I'm saying? Brother Mendez talks a lot about, he says, you know, he had a job one time, I think you're the one that said this, where you emptied the trash cans in the church. You know, I haven't heard a lot of people come around and say, wow, Brother Mendez is the best trash can emptier I ever saw. The fact is, anybody can empty a trash can, amen? Today, one of the teachers came to me and she said, one of the toilets has stopped up. And the students were saying, it's the certain. I said, I'll figure out which one it is. I don't need any guidelines here. I'm sure I will be able to tell. You know, there's not a whole lot of, ooh, wow, that guy's really a good toilet clearer outer, you know? Because anybody can do that, can't they?
Yeah.
Or that person's a real good floor mopper, although I do think I have a knack at that. But anyway, that's a different story. You know, the things that you really do for the Lord, you didn't do them because somebody came and said, wow, you're really good at that. You don't want that.
That's right. Amen.
I want to be good at it, not because I want people to say, wow, look how good he is. I want to be good at it so I can please the Lord. It breaks my heart when I don't feel like I did my best when I preach. And I preached and I put a lot of effort into it, but it just didn't work. And I don't care what people think, but I care that God couldn't use it. Amen?
Amen.
So, glory is a very difficult thing because it's something that we tend to want, but it belongs to God. Here's just some concluding thoughts and we're done. Will you continue to serve God even if you don't see any results? I'm facing that. It's hard for me to listen to my daughter play the piano. Because I miss that. I miss what we had. And I miss all the benefits that went with it as well. But I just miss the success that we had. But I can't quit serving God. Amen?
Amen.
Would you keep serving God if nobody ever thanked you? If nobody ever acknowledged you? If you never had any success? You ever plant a garden and not have anything come up?
When I was a little boy, that happened to me a couple of times. I found out later you got to water those things, but that's a different story. And you plant a garden and nothing comes up. So you try it again, nothing comes up. I'm done gardening, forget that. Because you want some results, you want some rewards, don't you? Is that why we serve God? Because we want the reward? Or because we love Him? Amen? You see, if we're serving God for the glory, we're in it for the wrong reason. It's just the way it is. Now, if you do your best for God, you may not be the best. But when you do your best for Him, it's the same thing. You see what I'm saying? In other words, let's say, for example, you decide to get up and sing a special. We had a couple in Maryland, the Mondays. Liz knows them. Are they still there? I can't believe they're still alive. They must be 150 years old by now. And I remember Mr. Monday, his name was George, okay? And Mr. Monday, he would help his wife because there's no way she'd make the steps by herself. And he'd help her up the platform. And they sang that one song, and it says the melodious songs of the blessed. And the entire time I was there, George never did sing the word melodious properly. He didn't know how to pronounce melodious. He pronounces it wrong. He said, the melodious songs of the blessed. And they never were in tune. Don't tell him I said that. But they love to sing. I'd rather hear them sing than the most entertaining men's quartet out there, because they sing it from their heart for the Lord. Amen? Amen. My wife, she plays the piano because she wants to please the Lord. Brother Greg leads the singing because he wants to please the Lord. Brother Mendez runs the youth group. He wants to please the Lord. You're here in church tonight, I hope, because you want to please the Lord. Amen? Somebody goes to church and they say, well, I didn't get what I wanted out of that. Were you there for what you get, or were you there for the Lord? Amen? Thank you for being here tonight for the Lord's sake. Amen. It's encouraging to me, but God deserves the glory. Amen? Amen? Are we going to keep on going, or are we going to quit? Well, I'm not getting a lot out of this, somebody said. I don't care what we're getting out of it. What's God getting out of it? Yes. Amen? That's why we have a church. Last verse and we're done. Philippians 2. I think we're getting there. I'm going to skip over some things, but I think we're getting there. Philippians 2. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. I had an assistant in Maryland. His name was Nathan Starr. He can play racquetball. He is really good. Now, I enjoy playing racquetball. I can beat some people. I can't touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. He said, let's go play racquetball. I said, great, let's do that. This will be fun. And he whipped me so bad. And the next time he said, let's go play racquetball, I said, mm-mm. No, I don't enjoy losing. It bothered me that my assistant could beat me so bad at racquetball. Well, shame on me. Let me read you a verse. Philippians chapter 2. Look at verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Listen to this. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. I'm going to ask you, does it bother you that somebody's better than you? Does it bother you that they're more spiritual than you? Does it bother you that they seem to know more about the Bible than you do, or that they've got more accomplishments than you have, or that they can sing better than you, or that they, I don't know. The Bible says we should esteem others better than ourselves. A simple illustration, you know, you say, who's better, Pastor Schaefer or Brother Leo? Oh, definitely Brother Leo. Amen? First of all, I love Brother Leo. I don't mind it if he's good. Amen? I'm not competing with him. Now, I can outrun him, but that's not the whole measure of man, is it? What about how much time you spend in prayer? What about your walk with the Lord? Let each esteem other better than themselves. Does it bother you to be inferior? It shouldn't. Amen?
Amen.
It makes sense. Because we're not in it for the glory. This is not a competition. I'm the best Sunday school teacher. I'm the best piano player. I'm the best song leader. I'm the best. That's not why we're here. Let me just make it real simple for you. The Lord's the best.
Right.
And we're way, way down here. And anything that we do, he does. Amen? Any success we have is from him. Amen?
Amen?
Get out of the glory business. Let God have all the glory. He gets all the glory. Amen?
Amen?
Something great happened, he gets the glory. Something great didn't happen, he gets the glory. It doesn't matter either way. As long as he gets the glory, we ought to all be happy. That's my message. Does that make sense? So now what do we do? You say, well, Pastor, we're not getting what we expect out of this. Again, it doesn't matter what we expect. The question is God getting what he deserves? Think about some of the people in the Bible. I like just John the Baptist as a closing thought. John the Baptist was the Bible says he was one of the greatest men there ever was. Well, let's see. How did that work out? They arrested him. They threw him in prison. They cut his head off. Wow, that's not a very good outcome, Pastor. Who got the glory? God. Amen?
Amen?
You meet John in heaven someday, ask him, hey, John, did you get a fair shake? Oh, yeah. He got to be the forerunner of Christ. But John, they threw you in prison and cut your head off. Doesn't matter. I got to be the forerunner of Christ. Amen? He got the glory. You know what John said? He must increase, I must decrease. Amen? What can we do with all of this? Just two things I can think of real quick. One of them is this. Make sure you're serving God not because of what is in it for you or how you look. Make sure you're serving him because of who he is. And if you're trying to get the glory, knock it off.
Amen.
And let God have the glory. Amen? So we keep on serving. It breaks my heart. I miss some things that I used to have. But if God took me somewhere and said, you need to lose all of that so that you can prove to me that you're not doing it for you, you're doing it for me, that's okay. Amen? That makes sense? Let's have a quick word of prayer. We'll take a few requests and we'll be on our way.